The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Allow us to catch up really with what's been happening in a very busy week of sport on and off the pitch. Loads of stories to discuss. Owen, how are you?
Good, Claire. How are you?
Very well. Will we start with Oriel Park? Because yes, that story just grew legs over the week and it's ongoing today now as well.
It certainly is. Now, there seems to have been something of a full stop put on it last night when the League of Ireland released its punishment for the scenes that happened last Friday night. And there's going to be a fine of €15,000 to Drogheda. There's going to be a ban on Drogheda fans attending their next four away fixtures. And then there's a ban on those same fans attending any fixtures at Oriel Park for the remainder of the season.
So which is a big price for that club to have to pay for this. I mean, some would say it's commensurate to what happened. But in order to settle this, that's what they had to shoulder.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, I think that will go down better in the court of public opinion compared to the broad stroke approach that was taken on Monday to freeze all the funding. Now, to be fair, we were speaking to David Carell this week and he told me that there was only one Astro project that was actually in the process of drawing down funds. So that there was only one AstroTurf really this week, and in reality,
the impact of it was minimal.
Correct. That doesn't necessarily justify the broad stroke approach. And to be fair, it's only lasted 4 days, the freezing of the funds. So it's come and gone pretty quickly. And maybe it's a scare tactic to sort of get the League of Ireland into motion, because this is a conversation that we've had for years around the League of Ireland regarding pyro and flares at games. So they've acted more quickly than they've ever done on this subject this week. So you could say that the minister has got his wish. There's going to be further implications of this as well. More interestingly, to stamp down on illegal pyrotechnics, there's going to need to be CCTV at League of Ireland grounds if you're to get a licence to compete in the league from next year. There's going to be greater detection processes in place when it comes
bag
to
searches.
Sniffer dogs, bag searches, which you mentioned on Monday, which might have stopped this in the first place. Pyrotechnic detection dogs are going to be brought into proceedings. And then if anybody's caught with pyrotechnics, illegal pyrotechnics, they'll be ejected and face potentially lengthy stadium bans from the League of Ireland. Mm-hmm. So that's what's been handed down. It's been a busy all week, a lot of conversation around this with regards to how heavy-handed the approach was in the first instance. And it seems that now the League of Ireland is going to have to get to grips with this over the next couple of years.
OK, you have a match on tonight?
We do indeed. Bulls versus Rovers. The Dublin Derby, for a lot of people, the biggest fixture in League of Ireland football. It's going to be live on News Talk at 8pm tonight. Bulls are top of the table. They've won away to Sligo. They've won away to Derry. Rovers, of course, defending champions. So it's the penultimate game in the current edition of Daily Man Park, the penultimate Bulls versus Rovers game. So one more and then the redevelopment of Daily Mount is going to happen.
Okay, so then we move to the Premiership and we've Arsenal and Chelsea. That'll probably be the biggest one over the weekend, would you say?
Absolutely. Again, another game you can hear live on News Talk 4:30 on Sunday. So Arsenal have been in great form against Chelsea when it comes to their recent rivalry. Chelsea haven't beaten Arsenal since August 2021 when Thomas Tuchel was manager. Since then they've played 10 times. Arsenal have won 7 of those matches. A far cry from the rivalry of 20 years ago when Jose Mourinho seemed to constantly get the better of Arsene Wenger. It's turned on its head. They played twice in the Carabao Cup recently and there was a small bit of needle between these teams where Arsenal were deemed to be encroaching on the Chelsea half of the field when they were doing their warm-up. And Lemar Senior, who's been known as this sort of LinkedIn manager, this very sort of gentle soul, was very, very annoyed at that moment. So I wonder if that's going to crop up in the pre-match comments and the build-up to this game on Sunday afternoon.
The preschool stuff.
A bit preschool, to be fair, but footballers and football managers are petty and they use anything like this to get a little bit of motivation. So Arsenal need to keep winning. They won at Tottenham last week, obviously, after that wobble against Wolves, so they need to keep winning in order to just keep their noses in front of Manchester City before that massive game against City comes down the tracks in a few weeks' time.
And Spurs on the pitch as well?
They are indeed. They're playing on Sunday as well. They're away to Fulham and he won't mention the R word, Igor Tudor, which is of course relegation. He says it's nothing to do with not being able to sleep at night. He says it's just not a necessary distraction at the moment. He was asked yesterday if this is a more difficult job than he envisaged before going into White Hart Lane and he said probably yes. And then he said that they need to have the mentality of a small team. This is something that is apparently a cliche in Italian football. It's the key to have the motivation to play big teams. So Tottenham fans, I'm not sure how that'll go down for them, referring to themselves as a small team before going to play Fulham.
So he wants them to embrace the underdog tag.
Correct.
But that's got to... You got to have a mindset change to do that, right?
Which maybe is not the worst approach for Tottenham at this point, because they've had the mentality or they've had all the language of a big club without having the, I guess, the structure and the substance to back that up mm-hmm. over the past couple of seasons. So maybe, you know, who was it? Erling Haaland, one of his cliches is stay humble whenever playing an opposition team. Maybe Tottenham staying humble under the tutelage of Igor Tudor wouldn't be the worst course of action over these next few weeks.
The GAA, some interesting fixtures this weekend, but you want to talk in particular, I know, about the GAA Congress.
Yeah, so this happens tomorrow afternoon. It's an annual event. Quite often you get a load of pie-in-the-sky stuff when it comes to GAA Congress. But the big talking point tomorrow is going to be Motion 14, which involves a two-week extension to the inter-county season. So this is part of a subcommittee that's been set up by the GAA, led up by Pádraig Duffy over the last little while. And they want to push the All-Ireland finals back by 2 weeks into the month of August. This had been a talking point, particularly 2 years ago in 2024, when there was no inter-county action in the month of August and there was this sense of there being a vacuum where other sports could come in and take all the headlines from the GAA. I think if they struck immediately after that and got this onto the clawr for last year's Congress, they might have got this to pass. But we've just witnessed the greatest club season we've ever seen, particularly mm-hmm. on the football side of things, the way that All-Ireland series was. And I think the club player has started to realise, God, this situation is actually totally beneficial for us. We can plan our holidays. We have a summer completely mapped out for us. Mixing that up and taking 2 more weeks out of our season, I'm not sure if I'm going for that. So I think this is not going to pass this weekend.
But for the fan zone and for the game, like, you know, August dead zone. You know?
I would be totally in agreement with you if we were having this conversation 18 months ago. I have changed my opinion on this. And in the summer of 2024, even though there was an Olympic Games to kind of satiate us that summer as sports fans, I definitely felt there being an emptiness when it comes to the GAA season. I've just got used to July now. It's a short, sharp, and it's not that short. Like, I mean, we've been talking about GAA for the last month and it goes all the way up till the August bank holiday weekend when the Camogie finals, the Women's All-Ireland finals are played. Actually, it's the week after when the Camogie final is played. So you've still got 2 weekends of August into which there are some Gaelic Games action existing. So I'm used to it. I think the club players in particular are used to it. And we've got to remember as well that you take 2 more weeks out of that club season, you force the inter-county players who are playing in All-Ireland finals into an even more compressed club season as well. So this is not going to pass. Could it be shelved until next year? I think a lot of the people who vote against this don't want that to happen. They want it to come onto the clawr and they want it to be defeated this year.
So it's dealt with and a line is drawn under it.
Correct.
And we all move on and we forget the romanticism of September.
Yes.
And we're, yeah, okay.
Yes. So I think forget about September. September is dead
gone.
In the water.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I get it. But now you're saying August is gone as well, apart from the Camogie, as you mentioned.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, on the pitch then, when it comes to GAA, we have Kilkenny versus Cork. That's the pick of the hurling, you say?
Yeah, I would say so this weekend. So Kilkenny got a last gasp win against Waterford last week to sort of keep the heat on the top couple of teams in the National League. I must say that the National League at the moment is kind of taking on a sort of Munster Championship veneer, where the top three teams in Division 1A are Cork, Limerick, Tip. Kilkenny are on 4 points as well, just like Limerick and Tip at this point. But it feels that they're really doing well to kind of keep up that pace. Waterford could easily have taken points off them last weekend. There's been some criticism coming in from Liam Sheedy of Kilkenny's forward line in terms of not having box office talents in that attack. Kian Kenny was out doing media this week. He says, actually, we're pretty happy with our attacking options. So they've got a bit of a point to prove against Cork this week. But Cork, 3 wins from 3, the best team in hurling in the National League at the moment, but that obviously is doing little to help them get over what happened last year against Tip in the All-Ireland final.
Dublin have to beat Roscommon this weekend.
They kind of do, yeah. They really
in football,
need
to, we should say.
Yeah, in football. I would actually put that down as one of the bigger games in the football this week. Roscommon are flying high, though. They're looking at a league final if they win this weekend. They're on 6 points alongside Mayo, with Donegal obviously top on 8, but Dublin second from bottom, 2 points from their 4 games so far. They were really poor last weekend against Kerry, I thought. Some of their shot taking, some of their basic skill execution was really, really bad. I'm not sure when this is going to turn. I suspect it will turn under Gerard Brennan, but you're now starting to think, God, is it going to turn in time for the Leinster Championship? You think this mm-hmm. is a wide open Leinster Championship this season with the way Meath are playing, with the way Kildare are playing, and potentially even a team like the defending champions Louth in Leinster as well.
That's
so that should
great,
be interesting.
It is great. I love it.
It's
I love
fantastic.
To see it. You know, Laois might be there.
Absolutely.
Who knows?
How have we not mentioned Laois in the mix for the Leinster Championship
know.
Yet?
I don't know. I'll talk to you about that again. Saracens then were rumoured to be in the market for our Andy Farrell.
Yes.
In the rugby. But they have said what in relation to this story?
So they released a statement that was on their social media last night with a picture of Andy and Owen Farrell both on this statement, and they said that any talk linking Andy Farrell with a return to the club is disrespectful to the incoming director of rugby, Brendan Venter. So Venter comes in as director of rugby next season. Mark McCall, who of course played for Ireland, is out at the end of this season. So could Brendan Venter be a one-year solution before Andy Farrell leaves Ireland after the 2027 World Cup and come in there? Well, in the Irish Independent this week, it was reported that a deal of €1.2 million per year was on the table. But Saracens have said that the club has not discussed his future with anyone on the board or anyone in the ownership group, and no offer has been made. So that's their very literal explanation on their statement. Could there have been a world where he spoke to somebody outside of the board, outside of the ownership group, and no exact offer being on the table? Of course there could be. So they've just put that out there, I guess, to ensure that they're giving the full backing to Brendan Venter in the next season. A lot of these stories come up, and we often see them as pure negotiating tactics, but we have to remember a lot of them, there is no smoke without fire. For example, this week there were reports linking Mike Prendergast with an exit from Munster to Bath. 24 hours later, that came true, and he is due to join Bath next year. So let's see how this plays out. I'm sure Andy Farrell will probably want to have his ducks in a row, what, a year out from the World Cup, so maybe come the start of the next rugby season, we can expect some clarity on this.
Owen, thank you very much.
Thanks,
and we'll see you on Monday.
See you then.
Owen Sheehan will be back with us on Monday, bringing us everything that happens over the weekend and off the ball. Don't forget to listen tonight, and the matches that Owen mentioned will be on. So we have Bowes and Shamrock Rovers tonight and Arsenal and Chelsea on Sunday.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.